Hello and welcome to another My Tunes podcast at manxradio.com.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
Well, here we are, lockdown My Tunes. Do we carry on? Of course we do. We have remote contact. We have all sorts of equipment. It's a fancy phone, really. My guest this week, well, we'll tell you lots about him in a moment. Welcome, James Osborne from the other side of the Isle of Man. Whereabouts are you?
Right down near Belaf Beach.
Well, it sounds like you're next door, which is a very good start. Now, people might know you in different ways. I mean, I know you from being a long-term real sponsor and helper on the Blues Club and particularly the Blues Festivals over the year. But your main role here is finance, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm an independent financial advisor.
And, of course, we won't be asking for any hot tips because we'd get struck off if we did that.
Yes, right. 2:30 at Doncaster.
Exactly. That's as far as it goes. And you're also a guitarist because we see you playing live at the Blues Club as well.
Yes, really enjoy that. Like to be involved. And it is a great atmosphere down on at the railway, third Wednesday in every month. So it is very good.
That is a plug we allow. We allow those sort of plugs. James, let's go back to you growing up, because you didn't grow up on the Isle of Man. You came here about, 30 years ago, we reckon?
Yeah, that's correct. It's, 30 years in June.
Wow.
So hail from the Midlands, born in Derby.
And going out to gigs back in those days?
I mean, I suppose it's no different now, but there were just so many choices. And of course, you used to be able to go to see a group, and it was a proper night out. The table service and the cabaret was the act. In places like the Top of the World in Stafford and the Assembly Rooms in Derby, there was a lot of choice.
And who were those, in those days, who was the most memorable of the bands you saw?
I think one of the very early ones I saw was Ike and Tina Turner in Derby when they were still an item. That was quite something. Michael Jackson in Milton Keynes Bowl, that was just incredible. A player that had a big effect on my music likes was Robert Fripp, who, as you know, was the kingpin in a rock band called King Crimson. I do remember also seeing Jethro Tull in concert, you know, the magic flute player.
Oh.
And just very special memories.
Something I've been trying to work out. You know how you compare prices of concerts gone by and concerts today, etc.? Well, not today, obviously, but next year. Is that the percentage of the income we used to have to spend on a ticket, I think, was a lot less in those days than it is now.
Absolutely teeny. I mean, when I first went to see my first few, I think on some things you just paid an entrance fee to get in the club. When I went to see Ike and Tina Turner, it might have been £3 or £4 to get in or something.
And as a percentage of your take-home pay, it was nothing like what you'd have to fork out now.
No, teeny. And I was on no income much then, really. In the early days, I was an apprentice jockey earning virtually nothing. So,
now tell me about those racing days.
I was mad on horses. I can't say I was terribly academic at school, wanted to leave and really wanted to become a jockey. So I rode and exercised and looked after some race horses for Reg Hollinshead in Stafford, predominantly training flat horses, and quite an experience for a young man. I was only 16 then, and you got your digs paid for. And not much income, and if you made a mistake, you got a good kick up the what's-her-name.
How long did you stick at it?
I was there for a year and a half.
Yep.
And, met the likes of Lester Piggott. He rode one of my horses, and that was very exciting because that was at Ascot.
Ooh.
Week, and my parents came to see me, and I was leading round Lester Piggott round the parade ring. So that was quite a thing. And then I sort of drifted out of that and went to work for my father for a while. He had a soft drinks company in the Midlands called Osborne's Pop, would you believe? And then drifted around a bit and then went into financial services when I was age 21.
We'll talk a lot more about finance and the move to the Isle of Man during the week. But let's have our first record of the week. What have we got and why have you chosen it?
As a young man, you know, you used to go and see groups, and I went to see the Three Degrees. It was either the Top of the World in Stafford or in Derby. I just thought they were amazing. I had a big crush on Sheila Ferguson, and I think this particular song, very funky, and I just thought they were just very good. They were founded out of Philadelphia in the mid-60s, and a lot of syncopation. Is that the right word, Mark?
It'll do. Here it is, Dirty Old Man. No reference to us. 3 degrees. Lockdown on the Isle of Man. So my guest this week, sadly, isn't sitting next to me in the studio. He's on the end of a phone line over the other side of the island, but we're doing all right. And he is James Osborne. James, thank you for telling us about your time in the saddle. Do you still ride?
Motorbikes only. Yeah, they stop better than a horse does, and a lot easier to keep, but more expensive to buy, probably.
Let's talk about you coming over to the Isle of Man, because you mentioned yesterday you sort of worked for your dad in the pop factory and then went into finance. And was that when you started looking at opportunities elsewhere?
I think I drifted a bit. You know, when you're very young, you don't really know quite what you wanted to do. I did all sorts of things. I worked at the Scientology College for a while. I worked in welding, in engineering, and selling televisions and all sorts of things. And then my brother was in financial services, Mike Osborne. He was doing well. He'd been doing it about 5 years. He said, James, you know, why don't you come and join me? And that's really how it all started.
But he wasn't on the Isle of Man at that time, was he?
No, again, both of us in the Midlands in a place called Ashby de la Zouche.
I know it well, actually. I know it very well. So how did the move here come about?
We sold our business in 87. I had a 5-year contract working for the new owner, and I wanted a complete change. I couldn't start up in the same area again anyway, and fell in love with the Isle of Man. I was getting into motorbikes, and I just had been over here several times, and it was just a great choice, just to have a change from the rat race and you know, to be somewhere with a, I don't know what's the right word, a bit more independence, a bit more freedom.
So the TT had drawn you over here a couple of times before you made the move.
Yeah, that was quite a big deciding factor. I knew at that time there wasn't that many financial advisors over here, so I knew I could start from scratch and build it up. And really, you know, various things made it all happen. And we saw this property that was for sale that needed drastically having some attention made on it. And all the things just fell into line, really.
Brilliant. We're going to talk music more tomorrow, but I'm just going to lead you into your second choice, because I wonder, did you see Van Morrison when he came over to the Isle of Man?
I did, and I have seen him 3 times.
Ah.
And yeah, an amazing musician. He has just carried on and carried on. My only criticism of him is, as a performer seeing live, he is pretty dreadful. he's so good, but he doesn't really communicate with the audience.
It's almost like he doesn't enjoy that part of it.
Yeah, so yeah, that's right. Yeah, like he's chewing a wasp and doing his stuff. But he is super talented.
We won't take a live track then. we'll take a studio cut. What have we got, James?
Well, I was sharing a flat with a guy down in the south of England when I was working down in Sussex. And this guy introduced me to Van Morrison. And it was those times where he'd got the most fantastic stereo set with speakers that were separate and apart.
Ooh.
And he put this track on, and I just... impinged on me. Astral Weeks is the name of the album, and this is the title track.
If I ventured in the slipstream between the viaducts of your dream, where mobile steel rims crack and the ditch in the back road stop, could you find me? Or would you kiss my eyes, lay me down, silence easy to be born again, to be born again? From the far side of the ocean, if I put the wheels in motion, then I stand with my arms behind me, and I'm pushing out the door. Could you find me? Would you kiss my eyes? to be born again. There you go, standing with the look of avarice, talking to Hugh Ledbetter, showing pictures on the wall, whispering in the hall, I'm pointing a finger at me. Putting on his little red shoes, pointing a finger at me. Between the viaducts of your dream, where a mobile steel rims crack and the ditch in the back road stop, could you find me? Would you kiss my eyes and lay me down in silence easy to be born again, to be born again, to be born again, to be born again. In another world, darling, in another world, another time. Got a home on high. Ain't nothing but a stranger in this world. I'm nothing but a stranger in this world. I got a home on high. In another land. So far away. So far away, we up in the heaven. We up in the heaven. In another place, in another time, in another place. Another place. another face.
My Tunes Lockdown Specials, when we get hold of a little bit of kit and transport ourselves along the various wires and fibres of the Isle of Man. And I've got James Osborne, financial advisor, guitarist, huge supporter of the Blues Festival on the Isle of Man. He's over there on that side of the island. I'm over here. Good morning, James Osborne.
Good morning, Mark.
Can't be that bad. We're back for day three. And it's still working. There you go. It's all still working. We've got you on the Isle of Man. Yesterday we covered the move here. When did you get involved with the Blues Club and the Blues Festival?
That was latterly, really. I've always played a little bit of guitar. And I think when I came here, I had the odd little lesson from a famous guitarist in Douglas. But I was just doing really nothing. It was just a bit of learning with no gigs. And then suddenly I met a couple of individuals that were involved in the blues. I purchased my first electric guitar probably something like 12 or 15 years ago. And I think, I don't know who told me about the Blues Club, but then suddenly I went along and then I was getting some teaching from John Gregory and Dick Best and one or two others, and it just all moved on. Then I bought another electric guitar and really have very much enjoyed it.
You can never have too many electric guitars. I promise you that. That's a given. That's an absolute given, no matter what anybody tells you. But your support for the Blues Festival was really well appreciated by everyone involved, because you were one of the headline sponsors for quite a long time.
You know, I just wanted to put a bit back, as we have done with a few charities over here, but certainly to be involved in something like that. And, you know, the guys that organised the festival, you know, put a lot of work in, and we were glad to add a bit of financial support to make the event as good as possible.
Well, hugely appreciated. I know that. When you're playing the guitar, are there guitarists in your head you're thinking, oh, I'll try and sound like that person or this person? And not just ones you listen to, but ones you like the way they play.
Yeah, I think I mentioned early on in our interviews about Robert Fripp. I mean, he was more rock. Certainly on the blues front, I just really like that sort of genre. I know it's sometimes the blues is always a bit sad and someone's leaving or somebody and somebody doesn't love anybody anymore, but it's all taken a bit with a pinch of salt, but it's just very emotional music, you know, just very, very endurable. There's nothing like the arts to wind up the spirit.
Take me through your third choice of music, James.
When I was asked to give four numbers, it's quite difficult because there's so many good ones in your head, as you know, Mark.
Yes.
I have enjoyed opera over the years as well. This is a complete departure from the other stuff. There's an Italian tenor called Vittorio Grigolo, and he was born in Arezzo in Italy in 1977. And I've seen him two or three times, seen him play in Tosca. I just think he's just very good, silky, fantastic voice. And the song that I've chosen is Maria.
The most beautiful sound I ever heard. Maria, 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 Maria. Hold the beautiful sounds of the world in a single word. Maria, Maria, Maria. Maria, 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 Maria. I've just met a girl named Maria, and suddenly that name will never be the same to me. Maria, I've just kissed a girl named Maria, and suddenly I found how wonderful a song. It's almost like praying.
Maria, I'll never stop saying, Maria.
My guest all this week on My Tunes is on the other end of a contraption because, sadly, we're locked down and we're not allowed to sit face-to-face and do this thing. But, James Osborne, thank you very much for sharing your memories and for picking some cracking tunes this week.
You're welcome. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning to you. Today, I want to talk a little bit about motorbikes because I know you've had a few in your time and some particularly, well, I might use the word ludicrously fast ones. What have you had? What's been in the garage?
I think I always like a bit of a need for speed. My dad always had fairly nippy cars, and I have a superbike, which is an Aprilia. That's an RS V4. That's about a 200 horsepower rocket that you see get raced in super stock on the TT. I have a lovely cafe racer. Yeah. And then the third machine I bought only last year is a Triumph Rocket 3. It's a 2.5 litre, would you believe, cruiser. And it is a monster. I mean, you could pull the Ben McCree off a sandbank with it.
2.5 litre motorcycle. Now, even to those people who might not be that much across motorbikes, they know that is a very big engine.
Yeah, it's 221 newton meters of torque, and it is just a great machine. So very enjoyable. It's got a back seat as well if I want to take my fiance out for a belt round, and it's just a nice bike, you know.
Now, you mentioned at the beginning of the week, we talked about your days as a jockey. You're not the biggest of blokes. That's a heavy machine, James.
It's 280 kilos. I wouldn't want to pick it up if I dropped it, touch wood. But of course, because it's a low bike, all the weight is, center of gravity is quite low. So it actually really handles quite well. Just don't ask me to push it anywhere.
Now then, let's look forward. Let's look forward to the other side of all this and get through it. You know, when we can travel again and go to gigs, who are you looking forward musically of making a beeline to go and see next?
I've never seen Bonamassa. I would love to see him. I do like Beth Hart. There's just so many, and I think just the chance to go out and see some live music will be a right treat. I feel very sorry for the arts in the current situation, and it must be dreadful for people that perform, and I hope there is an end to this.
TT memories. You've seen a lot. You saw some before you moved over here. Highlights of the TT for you, James?
I think one of the most iconic battles was Hislop and Fogarty, you know, on the RCVs. That was something else that... particularly the Manx Norton just looked amazing, and the latest stuff, you know, the super fast boys like Hickey, just quite incredible. And I've got a few favourite viewing spots around the island that I can get to. And yeah, I just love the party atmosphere of the whole thing.
We won't ask you to name them because they'll get too crowded. That's it's like, keep those to yourself. Let's have this final piece of music. Interesting choice. Talk me into it.
I think in life, one is influenced by certain events and you never know really what life might throw at you. And this next song is particularly important to me on a life event. And George Michael as a singer, I think, is tremendous. But I think it's the words of this song do actually mean an awful lot in my situation. Very talented guy, taken away far too soon. Can't say much more than that, really.
You don't have to. James Osborne, thank you for joining us for My Tunes. Good luck with the business, the financial advice. It's certainly needed at this time. Always is, but even more at the moment. And hopefully see you at a live gig soon, before too long.
Thank you, Mark.
I would, I swear.
George Michael, the final choice of my guest on this week's My Tunes podcast, James Osborne. Thank you, James, for joining us. And I look forward to you coming back for more Manx Radio podcasts very soon. I'm Mark Tiley, and you can join me anytime you like, 9:30 to 12, Monday to Friday on Manx Radio.